pray. Father, thank you. We sing that song believing, Lord, that you are the God of angel armies. You are the God who is all-powerful, almighty. And you are by our side wherever we are, wherever we go, and whatever we face. We thank you for that assurance and that promise in the song today. And Lord, we continue to ask for the assurance of your presence and your guidance in our lives as we walk through perilous times, Lord, that you said would come in the last days. And we stand in that time, Father. We pray today that you will guide us as we begin a summer season now, very different, thankfully, than last year. And as this begins, we rejoice having time at the beach and with our families and cookouts and barbecues. That we will also be mindful, Lord, of those who have given everything they had to preserve freedom for us. We remember, Father, their sacrifice. We remember their gift. And we are thankful for the freedom that we know today because of those, many of whom have fallen in war and in conflict around the world. Thank you for loving us. And I pray, Father, that we will meet today joyfully in your presence and honor and glorify you in all that we say and do and think today. Minister to the hearts of those, Father, who need your peace and the assurance of that presence that we just sang about right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Well, good morning. Few of you are more surprised that I'm here than I am. I fully expected last week, I would at some point go into surgery for an open heart surgery procedure. And I thought I would be watching today's service from a hospital bed and recovering from surgery. But next Friday will be the appointed date, as the Lord allows, and if the Lord wills, I will be undergoing surgery next Friday morning. And it's interesting. A number of times in the past years, Neil Cordell has been with me for, you know, here on our staff and serving alongside me for a number of years. And many times throughout these years, I have had to be out. And in our programming notes, Neil's name gets, you know, my name gets scratched out and Neil's name gets added in. Well, today, Neil's name got scratched out and my name got added in. So I'm the penciled in guy today. I'm usually, but anyway, now listen. You will have heard a much better sermon from Neil than me today. But anyway, I'm grateful for men like him. We have a great staff team and a deep bench of great preachers, and that's great. And they'll be ministering to you over these next weeks as I'm in convalescence and recovering and praying again, Lord, and that you'll just pray for me and pray for our family in this time of recovery. Allison Martin is the Facebook contact if you want to know details about what's going on. She's a very detailed speaker and writer, and she's my daughter, and she will be keeping you updated that way if you want to know. And the church will have some information. She'll have more. She always has more. And she always has more to say, so you need to talk to her. So. But I have great kids, great family, and they're taking good care of me, but I also have a great church. Thank you for praying and for just asking the Lord's blessing over this time and his healing. I will warn you, those of you whose hearts are not right with the Lord today, I am praying for Jesus to come back this week really hard. So just word to those of you who need to get ready, that it may be a good time to really give that some thought, because I am really begging, Lord, this will be a great week for you to just come back. And even early Friday morning would be fine. So I'm ready. I'm ready. So anyway, so we'll see. Thank you, brother. Love you guys too. Love y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to conclude today our series in the Psalms on Psalms for the Family. And today I want to look at a real familiar psalm, Psalm 23. And it's always a go-to place if you just need some comfort and grace. But I want to ask a question around this, and that is this, as we conclude this series. Is your family being led by God. Now, I may just be asking people today, and I'm just asking you personally, is your life being led by God? But if you lead a family, you have children, grandchildren, you have people around you, is your family being led by God? That's the question that we want to consider today. The 23rd Psalm has to do with a lot of things that we look at for comfort, but one of the things that we don't really concentrate on enough in Psalm 23 is the fact that it has some significant things to say about God's leadership in our lives. And I want you to hear that a little bit today. We're going to look at the first three verses intensely. Let me just read the whole psalm because we know it and your head will go there anyway. So let me just go ahead and read it for us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Have you noticed how many times the word lead? He leads me, he leads me, he leads me, he leads me. And hence the question again, is God leading your family? Is that really what's happening in your life today? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Choices are a part of everybody's life. We all have to make choices. Choices have consequences. Whether that you make good choices and you have good consequences and a good outcome, or whether you make bad choices and there are bad consequences and a bad outcome. But our choices have consequences. We need wisdom to make wise decisions. Cornell University study a few years ago showed that the average American makes 226.9 decisions every day about food. Just about food. What to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, how to eat, all kinds of questions. I believe, not my own personal opinion, when you get in line behind people at coffee shops, there are people who make 226.9 decisions about what they want in their coffee in the morning. So it's just a lot of things. But, you know, a lot of decisions are not terribly consequential. They're not life and death. They're not things that are really going to shift life that much for you, however you decide. I mean, we're making decisions every day. When we wake up, are we going to make our bed when we make up? Are you going to put deodorant on today or brush your teeth? And people closest to you hope the answer is yes. You know, but there's no major import to those kind of decisions. We make them. We don't even think about them most of the time. There's not even a lot of forethought. We're just going to do this, and that's the way we go. But there are those decisions that are life-altering. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is giving his final address to the men of Israel. He pulled the people of Israel, the men of Israel, together and is addressing the influencers, the leaders of families and households and tribes. And he lays this statement before them. Choose this day who you're going to serve, whether the gods on the other side of the river or the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will be led by the Lord. That's our choice. That's our decision. And there are consequences that go with that decision. And there are consequences that go with those who say, well, I'm going to go and serve gods elsewhere. So those are life-altering, eternity-altering kinds of decisions that we also need to process and think through. Your decision to follow or not follow Jesus Christ. By the way, your decision not to make a decision is a decision to not follow Jesus as Savior, as shepherd. You know, we think about shepherd and the shepherding piece, you know, God's taking care of us. But really, the important thing about a shepherd is a shepherd's a leader. He leads us. He leads us. And that piece of leadership is a really important part of who we are and what we do and how we lead our lives. You know, one of the greatest stresses in our life is indecision. And that popping in my microphone that keeps going on. But we don't know which way to turn. James says in James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It literally says, a double-minded man staggers like a drunk. So indecision is a toxic condition to find ourselves in. You're an indecisive person is like a person on an inflatable life raft in the middle of the ocean. You know, it's just you're up and you're down, and believe me, recent days I have been seasick with indecision, so I have to go. I know what that means. Pam and I attended a marriage retreat one time in Ridgecrest, and the speaker in the retreat mentioned that there are two kinds of people that get in relationships. There are what he called big D people, people that really just love to make decisions. They just do it all the time. They love to do it. They do it easily. They do it quickly. They do it. They get it. They don't go back. They don't second guess themselves. They don't go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. They're just big D decisions. They're good with decisions. And then there's the little D people who can't decide on anything. Now, typically, a little D person ends up in a relationship with a big D person, unless you were me and my wife. And we were both little D's. Neither one of us wanted. We couldn't decide where to go out and eat. Decisions just stressed us or something. We just didn't do it well. If you end up with two big D people in a marriage, there's a lot of fireworks. Everybody's making their own decisions and kind of going their own way. But you might be a little D person today or a big D person. I don't think really important decisions are easy for anybody, frankly. They're hard. And we need somebody. We need a guide. We need a leader to help us make decisions. And that's what God is offering to be to us. You know, if we ask God, the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, let a man ask of God, who gives to all people liberally. God's not stingy. God's not going to hold back on wisdom if you ask him for it. But sometimes we just don't ask. He wants to lead you. The Bible actually refers to God. We sang a moment ago about the God of angel armies. That's God Almighty. That's one of the most common references to God in the Old Testament. But one of the close seconds to that is the word the shepherd. God is our shepherd. He identifies himself, which is it's an amazing thing, because to do that, the shepherd was like the most humble of all jobs. There's nobody had a more humble job than a shepherd. And God identifies himself with that humble profession. He is the Lord, our shepherd. And so this psalm, when we get to this psalm, we're seeing a very, very, and David, don't you know, that may or may not help you. It helps me to think about this. David's an old man when he writes this. He's already seen God working in his life. So he's looking back over the vista of his life and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. This is a very personal, intimate kind of statement that David is making in this psalm. And he points out the reality that God leads us. We need a leader. These are confusing times to be in a family, to have family, to lead your family through dangerous and confusing days. We just struggle with these days. In the Old Testament, the metaphor of the Christian life is very clearly seen in the people of Israel. I'm going to try to stay really still and not pop and crack. The people of Israel, as they were set free from bondage in Egypt, were led in the wilderness, certainly humanly, by Moses. But more than that, Moses himself was led by a pillar of fire at nighttime that lit up the sky, and a pillar of a cloud by day that had also a glowing light, the Shekinah glory of God inside of it. And whenever that cloud moved, the people of Israel packed up and they moved with it. Whenever the fire moved at night, the people of Israel packed up and they went with the direction the fire was going. That was the Holy Spirit. That was God's presence and the Holy Spirit leading the people in that time. Now, how many of us have ever thought, and I read those stories and read that in Exodus and other places, and I think, you know, sometimes I think, that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? I mean, you're trying to decide on a house. Which house do I need to buy? And this cloud just shows up, and says, this one, you know. Or, man, you know, I'm trying to pick a car or, you know, do something. You know, you're making some big decision, and this fire just shows up and says, this one. So it's like, oh, you can't mess up, right? But really, the Bible tells us that we have within us the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the one that was in the cloud, who is the one that was in the fire, and now is inside of you. Why don't we listen? Why are we not letting him lead us? Why are we not letting him prompt us and show us the way? Because he definitely wants to do that. He definitely wants to do that. And so we think today about leadership again. How are you being led? Who is leading your life? Romans chapter 8 tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. One of the primary markers of whether or not you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ is not just is the presence of God inside of you, but are you allowing the Spirit of God to lead you, to lead your life? Again, God's not a rancher. You know, ranchers, the guys out west, they drive their flocks from behind. They push them forward. They scare them. They terrorize them to move them. A shepherd gets out in front of the flock. The Holy Spirit does not push you from behind. The Holy Spirit leads you from the front. He goes where he wants you to go first. And he leads you to follow him. I remember that term, that leadership word back 50-some years ago. I remember standing in a sweaty auditorium on a summer morning in June in Kentucky at Vacation Bible School. Now, these were the days when, you know, I had to wear a white shirt and black pants, and we didn't get cool T-shirts and that kind of thing, you know. So so there was like this auditorium full of children with these white shirts, you know. It was kind of odd, but I remember I remember we were like doing this processional thing, but we were singing this song, and I don't know why this song just locked into my life right there. Because it wasn't a catchy tune. It's not necessarily just a real peppy, happy tune. It was a song that said, "He leadeth me." Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort from. Whate'er betide, whate'er may be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by his hand he leadeth me. I've never forgot that picture. In my head, as I stood in that auditorium, I remember that was the first time, I'm not sure it's the first time I ever heard it. It was the first time I ever heard it. And I got that God wants to lead me. I got it. Oh, okay. Now I understand. And he's led me. He's led me. He wants to lead you too. He's a shepherd. He calls us to follow him. He doesn't force us. He doesn't push us. He doesn't intimidate us. He simply says, follow me. Amen. He's a shepherd. And, you know, and what I want to go back now finally to Psalm 23. That was all the introduction, now the sermon. So let me take us there for just a moment. This is, again, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, one of the most familiar texts in the Bible, one of the ones I've used probably more than any other text in the Bible in my ministry, and one that I will promise you today, I am leaning on like I never have before. That's where I am. So I don't know if that's why I was stuck in this. I couldn't get out of it. I just thought, this is, you know, but anyway, I'm this is where I am. You know, sheep are not the smartest of animals. The Bible does not compliment you when it compares you to sheep. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, sheep, again, are not the brightest of God's creation. They're just not. I'd like to show a video. Folks online, those of you on the promise, those of you online, I'm not sure how this will come across to you. It's really just a moment or two of silence, and then I'll come back. But just watch this video clip. Just watch it. It says 1,000 words.
С этой стороны, против солнца.
And why don't we learn? Why do we not learn? Again, they're just, you know, they're just not the brightest creatures in creation. They're not the smart. You know, we have wise owls. We don't have wise sheep. There are just not any wise sheep out there. But this psalm very simply and very powerfully tells us some things about God's leadership. Number one, it tells us that God wants to lead us to a good place. Okay? God wants, the goodness of God wants to lead us to a good place. God draws us forward. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance, the Bible says. God's goodness leads us to a good place. I've used the, first of all, it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, the shepherd always prepared the ground before the sheep could eat. That you would, a sheep, a flock of sheep or, a few sheep, they will never lay down if they're hungry. And if you've been to the Holy Land, you've been to Israel, you know that the ground over there is pretty rough. There are a lot of rock, a lot of places that are just not lush pasture land like you see in some countries. There's just not a lot of that there. And so when a shepherd was taking a flock through the wilderness, he would have to clear the land so the sheep wouldn't end up eating a bunch of thistles and poisonous plants and stuff that they didn't have enough sense not to eat. And so he'd move rocks and he'd move all this. So if there was a green pasture, there was a shepherd who had been there working to make that happen. All right. Sheep can't feed themselves. Every other animal, you know, a deer can feed itself. I have deer in my backyard eating my flowers all the time. Deer feed themselves. They'll find something. Possums, I found, find possums in my garbage can. They feed themselves. Squirrels feed themselves. Every animal, but not sheep. They can't feed them. They can't find food by themselves. And if you just leave them alone, they're going to start eating stuff that's going to probably kill them. So the shepherd has to prepare the soil. He has to prepare the path. He has to prepare the ground for the sheep to lay down in. And when we say that he makes me lie down in green pastures, what that's saying is God has met all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He has met my needs. And so I can be content. I can lay down. So we have this picture of God leading us, first of all, to a good place. Secondly, God wants to lead us to a peaceful place. How many of you are ready for some peace these days? He wants to lead us to a peaceful place. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep are easily spooked. They're easily frightened. So are we. A sheep would not drink from a babbling stream of water. There's running water. Sheep won't get close to it. The sound of the water hitting the rocks or just bubbling up scared the sheep, so they wouldn't get close to water that was running. And so if the shepherd came onto a stream and he wanted to water his flock at this stream, he would have to go upstream and dam it up to stop the water from flowing down so the sheep would actually approach it and drink from it. So once again, we have this picture. If there's still waters, God made them still. All right, there's this picture here. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, we have here this picture of God not only leading us, but God's taking care of us as he leads us. He's providing for us and meeting our needs. Now, I don't think any of us in here have any issues of anxiety about running water, but you've got other issues troubling you, don't you? I think a lot of people do. San Jose State University every year since 1985 has done a survey for incoming freshmen. And every year, the question on the survey is, has the last year of your life overwhelmed you? In other words, the pressure of your senior year, getting through your senior year, getting everything taken care of, getting all your T's crossed and your I's, all that, has that process overwhelmed you? In 1985, 18% of the incoming students said it has. It's been overwhelming, 18%. In 2010, it moved up to 26% said that it had. In 2020, almost 50% students saying, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed just by the pressure of getting from high school to college. I'm overwhelmed. You know, at a time that many of you, if you're older, you kind of remember going through that. And, well, that was kind of a fun thing and a lot of excitement going on. And it was something you look forward to. But now students look at this as a time to be over. They're just overwhelmed by the pressure of having to get the grades and having to get the scholarships and having to get all these things in place. And, you know, life's overwhelming. Life's overwhelming. And this is when we need a shepherd, folks, who can lead us to a peaceful place in the midst of all this. Because I will tell you something, I can assure you, I looked into some faces this morning, other service and this one. There are some people here overwhelmed. Okay? You're overwhelmed. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying I know you are. I know there are people who are just overwhelmed with life and the circumstances that you're going through. But your shepherd knows. And finally, God wants to lead us to a secure place. He wants to lead us to a good place. No problem with that. He wants to lead us to a peaceful place. But he also wants to bring us to a secure place. Now, there was, for the shepherd, there was, and for the sheep, there was kind of a stop in the wilderness. When they were out and grazing their flocks and taking care of their sheep in the wilderness, the shepherd would build a pen, sometimes with rocks and sticks and stuff, and would kind of create a barrier, and the sheep would stay inside that barrier for safety and security. That's what they would do. Sheep are notoriously helpless and defenseless. They don't have claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They're not aggressive. They don't have a shell to hide in. They're fluffy. They're vulnerable. They're exposed. You know, no high school names their team mascot the Fighting Sheep. You know, you just don't. They just, you know, they're not aggressive in that way. And so they need a defender. The shepherd is their defender. He's the one who stands up for them and protects them and surrounds them. He puts them inside this little pen to keep them safe. But then more than that, Jesus in John chapter 10 identified himself as the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, you think, oh, that's a neat little picture. We have all these little pictures of Jesus with this. That's not the point. Jesus was making a very specific point. He is identifying himself with God. I am God. I am the good shepherd. And that doesn't just mean, hey, I'm taking care of. I am the one who is the shepherd who took care of you there, and I'm taking care of you here, and I will take care of you into the future. He is the good shepherd. But it also, in that same passage in John 10, Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. When the shepherd would make this pen in the wilderness, this little enclosure, there would not be a door on it that would lock and shut, okay? So he would put the sheep inside the pen for the night to keep them constrained and contained inside this area. And then the shepherd would lie down across the doorway himself so that if the sheep tried to get out, they'd wake him up. If an enemy tried to get in, they would wake him up. You know, Jesus made a point. He said, a hireling won't do that. Because that's a dangerous position. That's a dangerous place to be. Things can happen to you when you're the one putting yourself on the line. You're laying yourself down. But this is what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. Number one, you don't get in except through me. I'm the door. And I'm the one who keeps you in that pen. Nobody can take you out of my hands. Nobody can snatch you out of my hands. Nobody. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He holds us. He secures us. He is the sheep door and the shepherd. So we have these pictures of who Jesus is and how he wants to lead us. And just leaves me with one last thing to say. You have to make a choice. Do you want God to lead you? Do you want God to lead your family? Do you need wisdom? I mean, come on. Are you smarter than God? Do you know more about the future than God does? Do you have more power than God? Do you have more strength? Do you have more insight than God? No. Who's leading your family? Because if God isn't, that means you are. That's not good for your family. You need to know God is ready to lead you, but you have to humble yourself and say, God, I want to follow you as my shepherd. I want you to be my shepherd. I want to follow you so that when I have decisions to make, when I have choices to make, when I have hard things to do, you will be there as my shepherd to guide me. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? So today, let me ask you to bow your heads as we close. And Father, as we close in this moment, this time that we've had together, I do pray for any here, Father. I know that there are those who need wisdom, who need grace, who need the ability to be able to follow you with courage and with trust. And Lord, I know that I'm certainly doing that today. I'm trusting you. I'm committing my way to you. As my shepherd, I know that you will take care of me. And I know, Father, that wherever we are today, whatever the circumstance we may be finding ourselves in today, you will take care of us as our shepherd. Thank you for that promise, that assurance, and of your love. Father, for those who have never trusted in the one who laid down his life for their sins, who as the great shepherd went to the cross to provide a way to the Father through his sacrifice, to be the door that we could enter into the kingdom of God, and the only door, the only way. And I pray, Father, today that if we don't know Jesus as our Savior, as our shepherd, this will be the day that we come to follow him humbly in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, church family, and you come as God leads you in this time of commitment now.